Okay, welcome to the Link Conference, first session. Thank you very much for coming to my session. I just might have got some more people, but maybe for the next one. So Premier Support Link Server Wrap as a Service Deep Dive, a bit of a mouthful, but what we're going to be talking about is the new RAS platform that we have, which will replace some of the legacy likes of wraps and health checks that we've had with Link and OCS over the past few years. So firstly, I'm Keith Hanna. I'm an architect in the Premier Incubation team. We're responsible for ultimately providing the Premier field with the offerings that they go on to deliver to customers and partners as well. So this has come out of our team. So what is RAS? Quick show of hands, who's heard of RAS? Thanks. This is my team at the front, so that's a good start. anyone RAS? No RAS, RAP as a service, wider name. RAP, anyone heard of RAP? Couple of nods. Health check, couple more nods. Okay, so we have vague familiarity. So we're gonna kick off with a quick video. It's a couple of minutes. It'll give hopefully everybody an understanding of RAS as the concepts and what we're trying to achieve, and then we'll go into the details of how it works.
Lately, you've had a little trouble sleeping or eating. Or thinking, or blinking. A few weeks ago, a bunch of servers crashed, which meant downtime, frustrated people, and $1 billion wasted. Things are up and running now, and everything seems fine. But what if it happens again? There's that risk assessment program you're used to, but it takes a bunch of days, and you're left waiting for results. And every time you want to get an updated assessment, you have to start all over again. Bunch of days, waiting for results. What you really want to do is check out the health of your systems right now and get expert results right away. Well, with Microsoft's RAP as a service, you can. RAP as a service is the most convenient and comprehensive way for you to assess your environment, putting you in the driver's seat. Need a pulse on how healthy your systems are? Check. Want insight on looming risks and threats? No problem. Looking for guidance on how to make your environment more bulletproof? You got it. Here's how it works. Using the RAP as a service assessment tool, you collect data on several aspects of your environment, all the information we'll need to do a complete assessment. You then upload all this information to the secure and private Microsoft RAP Expert Analysis System. You quickly get a full picture of how your environment is doing, risk areas that need your attention, and even tips on how to make things better. And because thousands of Microsoft technology experts make continuous inputs into the system, you get our latest and greatest guidance as soon as it's available. You'll meet with a Microsoft engineer who'll review the results with you and give you expert advice and a remediation plan tailored to your organization. Best of all, with RAP as a service, you get a full year subscription so you can run these assessments at your convenience and anytime you're feeling iffy about your systems. Find out more about Microsoft's RAP as a service and get insight and peace of mind on your terms.
Right. So that's just a quick overview positioning in terms of what RAP as a service is. Over the rest of the deck, we'll talk about where we've come from, what's in RAS. There's a demo, so we'll take you through the steps of RAS, how we execute it, how you execute it from a customer perspective. And what's delivered, as well as talk about some of the future stuff that is going to be coming. So back late 90s, early 2000s, a lot of customers were coming to Microsoft and asking for a Microsoft assessment of their environment, so NTs, Exchange 5.5, 2000, all that sort of stuff. Our approach in those days was anywhere between 3 and 5 weeks. Ultimately, an engineer would go to site, very manual, labor-intensive, collect all the event logs, performance data, configuration, all those bits and pieces that make your system yours and give you the troubles that it did provide. From there, we generate a report, and we come back to you with a list of remediation tasks, a recommended remediation based on our best practice, a recommended from managing all the other customers that we have. So around Exchange 2003 timeframe, we introduced the RAP platform, risk assessment program. It was a lot more automated, still an on-site requirement from an engineer, We turn up, run a bunch of tools, this time to capture all those data, the performance, event logs, configuration options. That would then be sent off to a predecessor, I guess, of the RAS cloud for report generation, and then the engineer would come back and talk to you about those same remediation tasks. Whilst the collection was going on, there was typically some knowledge transfer as well. So you'd do some chalk and talks, maybe about either problems you've had or some new features you're trying to implement. So RAP started with Exchange 2003 and AD were the first two that we had about 10 or 11 years ago. And they gradually developed. We ended up with about six across the major technologies, so SQL, IIS, SharePoint as well. For reasons nobody's really truly quite sure, we never had an OCS RAP. We had an OCS health check instead. It's purely a naming thing. It was the same idea. Engineer would go to site, capture all your data, generate the report, generate the remediation tasks, and present that back as well as the knowledge transfer. But we called it a health check. That then developed into Link. So we had a Link 2010 health check. Again, same concepts. RAS is the as-a-service platform, so risk assessment program as a service. It's trying to alleviate the need for the engineer to go to site. What we found was quite often engineers would come to site, maybe customers had problems, so they weren't quite ready. There's typically things like permissions to set up, maybe a workstation where we can collect data from. If the customers just had a major outage over the weekend, they typically aren't ready for us to turn up on a Monday. So we were often getting delays, pushback, and this sort of thing from the RAPs and health check. So RAP as a service changes that slightly. It puts an emphasis on the customer for data collection and upload to the cloud. So we'll see the steps in that as we go. But it does mean that data collection is very much on the customer timeline. So whenever you're ready, you can collect the data, upload it. We'll have somebody ready to analyze it and present back that data to you. So we have a bit of a comparison. And just talking about the different offerings that we have. RAP typically varied even within a product. So with OCS, for example, we had up to four different tiers. If you had 1 to 5 servers, you bought tier 1. 6 to 10 was tier 2, and so on. RAS is dynamic. Currently, RAS for Link will support up to 50 servers with no problems. There may be slight delays if they're across the other side of the world, but we'll talk about those later once we see how it works. But it's RAS for Link. It's no longer product-specific or version-specific. So we'll have 2010 support, 2013 support, mixed environment support. What we don't have is OCS support. It's a RAS for Link. We aren't going backwards to the OCS technologies. We also have RAS Plus and RAS Offline. Really, RAS Plus, a traditional RAS, as we now call it, doesn't have an engineer on-site presence. But again, feedback from customers over the past year or two has said they still like that knowledge transfer and they're willing to pay for it. So although RAS itself is cheaper than a RAP because we're not sending people to site, customers still want knowledge transfer from people going on-site. Expert engineers being able to explain not only the remediation on the environment, but why, and maybe some improvements as well. So we have a RAS Plus offering. Excuse me. That's still the RAS portion, so we do offline data capture, data analysis, presentation back, but then that's followed up with 2 days on site afterwards. RAS Offline is a very specific category that we address here, where maybe you're a customer that has requirements that data cannot leave your site. So we're talking privacy type requirements, banks, governments, that sort of thing. It's not yet released. We'll see that we have a release timeline towards the end of this deck, and we'll talk about when that will be available. But the idea here is that the engineer will be on site. It will actually help you collect the data as well. So with RAS and RAS Plus, it's customer responsibility to collect the data and upload to the cloud. With the offline RAS, we're going to send somebody to site to help you collect that data, do all the analysis on site, and nothing will leave with that engineer. So some of the other differences here that we have, RAP was very much point in time. An engineer would come up, present the report, the findings, and then leave. If you wanted follow-up work, that was a separate engagement. If you wanted another one run, so maybe you're adding extra sites, maybe you're doing a migration, and you want to check that environment, you have to pay again. Exactly the same process will happen again. With RAS being a subscription service, you have access to RAS for a year. As your environment changes, you can just rerun the tool as often as you like. And we'll see some of the content, some of the reports that we have. We do recommend you run it quite regularly so you can get a level of trending coming out of those reports. RAS and RAS Plus both offer subscription services. As part of that, we release monthly updates. Typically, monthly is going to be bug fixes, but quarterly we aim for feature enhancements as well. We'll talk about some of the details again later in this session. RAS Offline, that's where the difference really comes into it. Although we provide the engineer on site to deliver, capture, collect, analyze, and deliver, we leave you the tool set, but you don't get any update capability. So you can continue to run that in your license for a year, but there's no changes to that environment that you're going to capture ongoing. So how does it work? So we've broken this into three sections, really. There's the customer, responsible for data collection and upload. Over the next few slides, we'll drill into each of these boxes in a bit more detail. So data collection and upload of the data once they've got the data we need. To the cloud, the RAP as a service platform is where the analysis is going to be carried out. And then finally, the engineer is going to read that data, go through whatever issues have been generated, and come up with a report as well as a presentation to present that back, as well as a list of the recommended remediation out of that. These are the bits that are subscription-based. So as a customer, you can run this again and again and again, and you'll continually get uploaded data. You'll continually get updated analysis from the cloud. So as things develop, as we generate new roles, you'll benefit from those. Or as you fix things, you'll see those changes in your environment. So the customer perspective, it is a subscription-based service, so we're going to charge you for this. So once you've signed up, you'll get access to the portal, and we'll walk through that, where we can download the client and the package. So the rule set is downloaded to your machine. There are some prereqs that are needed, so things like permissions. Do we have permissions? The account that's going to be used to collect data from the SQL databases, from Link itself, from the CMS. Excuse me. Some things like remote PowerShell, is it enabled? Without that, we're going to be limited in terms of what data we can collect from each of the servers. So in terms of data collection, there's two main parts to this. There's the client collection, which is our automated scripts. There are things like PowerShell. We typically run any of the link commandlets, so any get CS commands. We don't capture data which would be considered private, so things like get CS user, for example, we don't capture that. We do some analysis and some of the output of that, but we only capture the results. We don't actually capture usernames. We'll see that in the demo as well. WMI queries, so capturing some of the server specs and such. SQL queries, so KOE, CDR databases, we rely on quite heavily for content. Performance data and event logs, so we'll capture those over a week's time period. Performance is going to be over a four-hour period, and we capture quite a lot of the performance counters. If anybody's read the key health indicator documentation that the product group released before Christmas, we align with that, so any of the recommendations that are in there, those are the thresholds that we'll compare against and alert on, and we'll see those as we go through the demo. If we run into any problems, so let's say we maybe forgot to do a prereq on one of the servers, it's going to be flagged up at this point. Data collection, we're going to get an error. It's going to highlight where the problem is. In a lot of cases, we will highlight what the problem is. Depending, some things like WMI, we'll tell you that the prereq has failed, but you'll also see all the other failures that are reliant upon WMI, so it can be a little bit noisy. But you just need to read through that and address the prereqs. And then you can just simply rerun those failed collectors. So we aren't expecting to run the whole collection again at each time. And then we have an operational survey. So this is a web-based input, a web page, a lot of questions, multiple choice answers. Depending on the answers you give, there's more questions. And really the purpose of that is, with all the scripts and other collection, we can automatically collect data from your environment. But things like, do you have a change control process? There's no script that is going to collect that. So there are some things we need to prompt from the customers. And then finally, once we're happy with the amount of data we've collected, we do a secure upload to the cloud. So the cloud itself, there's a couple of pieces to it. Firstly, the portal. And we'll see this is where we review the data. We can see any alerts that are captured or raised. We can see any that have been addressed. So where we've raised an alert in a previous execution, and the data is collected, but we've addressed that through whatever changes we've made or corrections, those are going to be marked as resolved, so that they're not going to be flagged up to us anymore. Reporting data, so usage statistics, how many users have logged in over time, what types of clients they use, that sort of thing, is all available on the portal. And we also have a service desk, so where, as a customer, you can log a ticket if you're having problems with collection. Because we've changed the way the model works, engineers aren't going to be on site to help necessarily for that. There is still a service desk in case you run into problems. And then the main part of the cloud is the analysis. So I've already said monthly updates, bugs, minor fixes, and quarterly feature releases. But where those come from is really across the breadth of Link in terms of Microsoft. So we have things like the Best Practice Analyzer. The rules that we have for that, we align with. So any rule you'll see in the Best Practice Analyzer will have exactly the same in RAS. Really, that's for consistency. You don't want one error appearing in one environment and one and not in the other. MCS is our consulting teams. So any feedback we have from those guys, they have reference architectures that are standardized. So we align with those as well. System Center Advisor. So we have a couple of sessions, one later today and one tomorrow after lunch, talking about System Center Advisor and RAS. Not quite as deep dive as this session, but you can see the comparison between the two and where each of those fit. But again, the rules are common. So RAS is going to be a lot bigger. We have 350 to 400 data collection points. We have about 1,000, just over 1,000 actually analysis rules. Comparing that to something like System Center Advisor, they have around 50 analysis rules, so there's a much wider scope here within RAS. Other areas we collect data, so white papers, the likes of the key health indicators were in the networking white paper for Christmas. CTS or support teams, so whenever you phone up, log a call, where we see regular calls appearing, those guys will feed back into our rules system, so we'll capture that and start to monitor for it, so we can start to proactively tell other customers. And then finally, TechNet. So any of the documentation that comes from the product group, recommended server specs, all that sort of thing, is going to be fed into this as well. So the engineer, the expert engineer from Premier Field Engineering, they're responsible for analysis of the report, generating the report, presenting that back to the customer, discussing quite often. At this point, the engineer has only seen the report, so it's very much in isolation. They don't necessarily have a view of the environment. Maybe it's a customer we've never actually been to before. So they don't know how many servers we have. We don't know where they're distributed. So as part of that remediation plan and conversation with the customer, we may find things that we flag up from a recommended practice perspective, but are not relevant. So things like you might have a test pool, for example, that doesn't have a backup pool. So from our recommended approach, we would say all the pools should have a backup pool. We'll flag that up, but in the discussion with the customer, the engineer is going to deprioritize that. So we'll still highlight it, but it can be ruled out. And then finally, the actual remediation itself is ultimately going to be down to the customer. Responsible for their own environment. If it's a hosted environment, we're going to have a partner involved. A lot of customers will have partners managing their environments anyway. And again, a similar scenario, they might have Microsoft providing that. So the actual bit in red here is the customer responsibility, but the engineer will feed in terms of remediation, recommended remediation for that. For things such as the RAS Plus and the offline RAS, we're also going to be responsible for knowledge transfer. Typically, that is any number of sort of 1 to 2 hour chalk and talk type sessions. Some of it is prescriptive, so we have a couple of high level, how to manage your environment type things, but other things will be dependent on what comes out of the actual risk assessment. Thanks for that, Jeff. So really, the engineer is responsible for the remediation task list, but not the actual carrying out of that. So I've just remoted into my server environment. I'm going to go to the portal that we'll log into. Hopefully this works. Yep, so this is the portal. This is what you'll see before you sign in. Generic, it's the usual sort of stuff. If you follow any of the links, you can get more information on this. As customers, this is our test environment where it says UAT. Services.premier.microsoft.com is an open page. Anybody can go to it. You'll see all the information. You'll see drop-downs here, all the different technologies we have. There's about 16 or 17 different technologies now on the RAS platform, so it's much wider than the RAP scope. That we had in the past. So if I sign in, and there's different roles that you can sign in as. So there's customer, engineer, and TAM, so technical account manager. In this environment, I'm both an engineer and a TAM, so it will be a slightly different view than what you would see as a customer. But we can talk about some of the differences as we go through this. So first of all, this is the homepage. It's pretty straightforward. There's a menu at the top, my assessments here. It will take me down to the detail. So this is the test environment that I've already carried out for this. If you have multiple assessments, so maybe you're a partner and you manage multiple customers, you'll see this drop-down. Lots of different customers in my environment. So this is one we're going to look at in terms of the demo environment. We can also look at historical data here. So one of the things we were talking about just before we started, because it's a subscription service, because we recommend you run it regularly, it should be becoming part of your operational task. So maybe not a daily task, but a weekly task. Run it on a Monday or a Friday type of thing. Here we can start to look at what trends you've seen over time. And once we drill into some of the reports, you'll see in some of the reports we already have trending built in, so we do that over time analysis. But here, you'll be able to see what data was captured in the previous RAS, what was in this RAS, and maybe what has changed in some of the environments. So I'm just going to go through each of the areas here. The actual RAS itself, so I've only signed up for RAS for Link. If you as a user, a customer user, may be responsible for Exchange as well. So Exchange and Link teams are quite often together. If you had an Exchange RAS, you'll see that here as well. And you can select the path to follow the data you want to see. It'll tell us all our data around this. The tracking ID is going to be useful if we need to log a call or log a case with support. But the renewal date, so it's a one-year subscription. It's a one-year subscription started from whenever you collect data, whenever you download the tool to collect data and to progress. One of the things we introduced last week is you can customize these names. If you click in the text box first, so this. just in case, as a maybe you have different ones you want to save with different names for different parts of your environment. So maybe you're a multinational customer where you have different environments permissioned off. We're not necessarily going to say you have to have permissions for all of those environments. The theory is that you would only provide the account with the permissions for maybe North America. We do a RAS, you'd name it North America. Maybe you'll have another one for Asia, Europe, or whatever as the permissions go. There will be some generic things like CMS, we only have one in link. So no matter what type of RAS you're going to run in what environment, we're going to need permissions for that CMS. So we're going to download the package. Hopefully. If you break it out at that level, you'd need to purchase one separately for each. If we can enable the permissions, which I know some customers can for this type of service, but other customers won't because of data privacy. At this point, it needs to be purchased. So this is just, there's two parts of this package we're downloading. One is the client, and the other is the actual rules package itself for discovery and collection. So we'll go through this. Downloads. So this is our package. If I extract, so it's pretty straightforward. The usual next, accept the license, finish. We're done. Next, accept. Next. This particular point, it does a prereq check. So this is the prereq for the client itself as opposed to prereqs for the link environment. So we need .NET Framework 4. Whenever we're doing this capture, we do recommend that it's done from a dedicated sort of tools machine, be that an admin machine or specifically for this service. We do support running from a virtual machine, so if you have virtualized environments, you can just build a machine for this, run the execution, capture the data, submit it, and then get rid of that virtual machine again. So let's get rid of that. So there's a couple of things to highlight here before we start. I've already collected data on this, so we have our data model captured on disk. So we'll come back to that in a second, but this particular one here, import and submit data collected from another machine, is for the environment where maybe a customer has a restricted internet access to their users or to their servers, but they do allow data to leave their environment for analysis. So we are downloading the tools on one machine, maybe putting them on USB key, putting them in the server environment, doing the analysis, taking that back, putting it on this machine for upload. So you still allow the data to leave your environment, but you just don't have any internet connection to that environment. So we do have that capability here. Here, it's a bit of history. So if we'd started any of these, there's two phases to client. There's discovery. Actually, there's three. Discovery, collection, and then submission. So we could carry out each of these bits at different times and come back and pick up where we left off. So we could just do that with these previous ones. I'm going to take a new assessment. It's going to prompt for the file package. This is the execution package. That includes all those collection rules and discovery targets that we have. So this is immediately going to kick off into discovery, I hope. What we ask for in the prereqs for the tools machine is it's part of this. Let me start that again. Went into collection rather than discovery. The discovery portion from the tools machine, we need to be joined to a domain in the forest where link is installed. So we're going to automatically find link, find the CMS, query that, find the link topology, and build out our own tables of what that topology looks like. Different types of collectors and different types of analyzers will run differently on each server, be that a front end, a SQL, a monitoring server, or any of those. And that's really what discovery is doing, and we'll start at this time. So we build up our environment, we understand what types of roles those servers have, and then we only collect the data that we need to collect. So we're not massively collecting all the data of the environment, it's just targeted collection. No. So this is discovery. If we look at the details, so it starts off, it looks at the forest, it'll find all the domains in this. In this particular environment, I have one forest, one domain, and about 30 servers, so we'll see it build out pretty quickly, hopefully. But we're looking at things like all the link roles, but also topology data, so simple URLs that we have, some of the, at this point, IP addresses. I thought we'd hurry up. Server names, relationships between pools, pool names, the site names, anything really that's in topology. So we're not going any further than that until we get to collection. Once we get to collection, we're going to start looking at things like configuration items and data items out of SQL. It seems to have stopped. So I close that. It can take up to an hour. It shouldn't in this environment because it's all in the same VM. But if we skip, really, oh, there we go. So you can see here the different types that we've discovered, all the databases that we have, domains, forests, IP addresses, the network subnets we have, IPv6, all the different link concepts that we have within topology, and then a status with all these as well, SQL instances. Quite often we'll see that we can't actually discover SQL instances, certainly SQL Express, where it's local and you can only connect to that if you're on that particular box. We're typically not interested in data that's stored in a SQL Express database. We'll capture it from the back end of the pool, or we'll capture it from the monitoring servers themselves. So it's not a problem. Here, problems we would often see here would be around permissions. So if you haven't got permissions for a remote site, it would attempt to find it in discovery, but there would be a failure, and it would tell you why that would fail. So if we start. Right, so you'll see any server objects we find, just to address that point, we try to query IP addresses, a bit more information about server spec. So as part of the domain, we'll find DCs, and we'll try and query those. Here, we're looking at collection. So any of the collectors that have the little exclamation mark, or bang, as some people call it, at the start, are prereq checkers. So whenever collection's completed, and this will take approximately 4.5 hours in a local environment, 4 hours of that is performance data, so the rest is pretty quick. If you're connecting to servers in Tokyo or EMEA or wherever, it's going to take longer based on your WAN, but that's the minimum it's going to take is 4.5 hours. Within the details here, we can now see collection by target or collection by collector, and now we can start to see failures. So this particular server has a 50% failure. We've only executed a couple of collectors at this point. I know, because I've done this often enough, the exclamation marks or prereq check. So in this example, it's a health check. The health configuration, we don't have users configured for synthetic transactions in this particular prereq. We can highlight, we can click here and get all the log data. It'll tell us all the information behind this. Cannot find health monitoring configuration on this particular server because it does not exist. So that's a server I built last week. I'm finished configuring it. You can get the whole stack trace. From this point down is relevant to the engineers if you log a support case. It's not very readable unless you kind of know what's happening on the platform. So we kind of expect the customer to read this. Have a look at it. You know, the collector name says, it's pretty self-explanatory. We've tried to do that with the prereqs. There's about 7 of them that we do. If we take a look at another one. This one, maybe not as explanatory as some of the other ones. So in this case, AD replication, we actually execute the rep admin tool. It's not installed on the machine. So you would go off and fix that and then come back and retry any of these failed collectors. So we're looking here by target. If we flip that round, we can see by collector, 100% failure, AD admin tools. That's the prereq that correlates back to that one I've just highlighted. Rep admin's not installed. So you would look at that, you see the prereqs, fix the prereq, rerun the collection, and or rerun these failed ones, and we collect all that data, and we would continue. As I said, this will take 4.5 hours to complete, so I don't suggest we sit here for 4.5 hours. Trust me, after it's collected, it will verify the data we've collected, and then it'll prompt for submission. So if we go back to the portal, this time on the bigger screen, I get my username. So let's imagine we've submitted our data. One of the things that we would need is the submission key, this code. This is what's going to make that secure connection. So we'll store all the data locally on the machine, but whenever we're going to upload it to the cloud, we're going to encrypt that connection and provide that data with that key. So only people who have access to this particular customer, this particular RAS, will get that key to make sure that connection is secured. So we've talked through those. Questionnaire is the other part of data collection. So we're going to have a look here, just pretty straightforward, you know, web page. Let's start the survey. I've already filled these in, so you can see some of them already with ticks. If we had upgraded between starting and finishing RAS, we would simply do that and continue. And it's only going to follow where we have answers. There are dynamic quests, and so sometimes it'll prompt us for more data here, sometimes it won't, based on what our answers are. Some of the environment or some of the sections we look at, edge, file share, capacity planning. So has the design taken into account the profiles that we've put on TechNet? Have you used your own? That'll build into some of the rules around sizing. Bandwidth, similar sort of thing. Are you enabling voice? Have you carried out bandwidth calculator stuff? Have you done a network assessment? All that type of capacity info. Have you carried out testing? Some of the non-link bits and pieces now, so we're talking about DHCP. Have you configured DHCP for phone edition? Certificates, again, for third-party devices, and so on. So these are all the things that we cannot query from an automatic perspective, but we need answers to, really, to provide that environment assessment. So once we've done all that, we've collected our client data, uploaded that, we've completed the survey. We're going to have these two sections completed, so issues and collected data. So where have I got to? So collected data. This is where, before I talked about discovery, we're trying to find out the topology primarily. This is where we're going to find out the configuration items. So this first one that's opened, we do a GP result to find out what policies are being applied to the server, so we're going to populate that. This one's still in test, so the formatting's not quite right, really. If I make it a bit bigger and scroll down, really what we're going to start to show is things like just this section to say what groups we're in, further down what policies are applied. So it's going to be very specific to a server, and you can see that maybe the server's in the wrong OU, maybe it hasn't had policies applied yet, and that might be why you're getting different issues. If we look at some of these, the majority of these are going to be the get CS commandlets that we have. We do call out the name of the commandlet on the left of each of these, and we have the configuration info in the middle. Highlight again, we do not collect anything that's considered private data that identifies users, so no get CS user type data is included in this. We go down here. Server specs is what we're going to look at. Some of the stuff I was talking about, WMI, we're going to server name, all this sort of info. Number of processors, Is it virtual? We highlight that, and the memory assigned. So here, whenever it comes to axial analysis and issues, we can now trigger that that's a virtual machine. Whenever we have our virtualization guidance public, we can match those up and say, yes, that meets the spec, or no, it doesn't, and give you some tasks to follow through with that. The portal will have more data than the report. Ultimately, the report is a Word doc. At best, we can get landscape and put extra columns in, but a lot of these tables have a lot more data than will fit in a landscape page. So if you want the true output of a commandlet, it's going to be on the portal rather than in the doc. We try to summarize them in the doc. So things here start to become useful if we think about an operations perspective. Maybe we've just patched over the weekend. Maybe we've servers throughout the world and we've forgotten one. You know, if you've 50 servers to patch, it's quite easy to forget one. Here we can just quickly look at what's the patch level of all our servers. And even we will highlight issues to say one server, it doesn't match the rest of them. So you can start to see this from an ongoing perspective where your environment's changing. SQL as well, so we'll highlight all the versions of SQL that are in use in the environment. So this starts to get sort of down here around server spec, usage statistics. We start to get a lot more detailed. It's not so much the configuration data that you can just log in and run a command to get. It's more how is the environment being used, what's in the environment, how does that look? Whenever we do a bit of trending. So if I pick one, let's say field sessions. I've got some more samples from actual customers that show these tables populated. So we'll see those when we go back to the PowerPoint deck. But here you can start to see the data source. So if we have multiple monitoring databases and environment, we're going to break out those so you know we don't just join it all together. But we have a trend here. Previous 3 days, previous week, month, year, and quarter as well. So you'll start to see how your environment's changed over that period. That's captured every time you run this. So if you run it on a Monday, previous day may not be so useful if you're closed on a Sunday. But as you run that each day, you'll see a trend over the week. Or maybe you're just interested in the week, so you just run it any day. You'll get the previous 7 day trend in this as well. So back to the issues piece. So issues is where, for the most part, we're going to highlight critical, high, medium, and low risks to either configuration against best practice or health data based on performance counters. There are a few items we're going to highlight as informational. Maybe I can't think of an example, but some of the things we're just going to flag up and say your environment has this, it's not a problem, but just so you know what that's going to be. So we can filter here the active ones. Inconclusive is where we don't have enough data. So maybe we've tried to collect data. It's either been incomplete in the case of performance data, so we haven't got a full hours, 4 hours worth, or maybe we've tried to collect it and we just haven't got it. Resolved is where we've run collection at least twice. It originally failed, and the next time we looked at it, it's no longer a problem. So maybe something like event logs have cleared away, we haven't seen the problem again, or we've actually made a change to the environment to fix that. So just picking the first one, typically we're going to have a couple of sections on the right, which will cover like the description. In this case, it's the result of a survey question. So the description is actually the question that we asked you. And then we're going to highlight why we've flagged that as a risk. You can go back to the survey and see what you actually answered. We can't, because of the functionality today, we can't actually provide you the answer for one reason or another, but we'll highlight the question and we'll highlight what you should do about that in terms of the detail here. Some of the details, you know, classification, when we captured it, if it's been changed since we captured it. As an engineer, I have the ability to change these. So maybe called mission control is the example I would normally use. That we'll flag up some problems with called mission control. Maybe it's not configured, but in conversation with you as a customer, you might not be using called mission control. So although it's not against recommended practice, it's only not against practice if you're using it. If you're not using it, it's not going to be a problem. So we can reduce the risk here. We can change the info as well. And we can simply take it out of the report if you don't want it. wanted to be part of that report. So some of the other ones I wanted to highlight here, performance data. So we're going to, in this case, it's automatic capture. We've got, it's been triggered on one server. We only have one server in the environment, so that's 100%. But immediately, we're going to, the number of servers that potentially could have flagged this, you're going to see a percentage of your environment, of how much of it, your environment's actually at risk. And then down here, affected objects, we're going to actually highlight which particular object this is that's been impacted. You can click on that for more information. So here, it's going to tell us the version of the server. So performance counter names change from Link 2010 to 2013. So we highlight here which actual version of Link server you have and the performance counter that is actually exceeded the threshold. We highlight what type of threshold it is. So in this case, it's in between, value between 0 and 100, the threshold values that we have here, minimum, maximum, and average. So typically, we're going to be triggering on a maximum. As an engineer, we're going to have a conversation with you and say this is triggered as an alert. It may not be a problem, but we'll typically need further investigation. Because we capture on a four-hour period, and because we're not on site, we don't understand your business. It may be a busy period, it may not. So depending on what's going on in your environment, there may be genuine reasons why that is actually triggered. And it may not be a further problem. Okay. So this one I wanted to highlight. So one or more domain administrator accounts have been enabled for Link. This is really just highlighting a description. We shouldn't enable them. But for privacy, we're not going to tell you which accounts that is. This hasn't worked. So what we should have in here is another field that will highlight, it'll tell us the count of domain admin accounts that we have in the environment, but it'll also provide a script that, because of privacy, we can't capture those account information to present it back to you. There we go. Don't know what took that so long. So one account has been detected here. Remember the domain admin group we've enabled for Link. It's against our recommended practice. We can't capture that data because that may be a username. So it's somebody identifiable. We can't capture that and put that in the cloud. So we provide a script here that you can then run in your environment to find the account that's going to provide that has triggered this alert. So we're not taking the private data, putting it in the cloud, and putting identity at risk. But we are giving you as a customer the ability to find out which accounts have triggered this. So typically things like domain admin accounts, user accounts that have been enabled, but we don't have EXT at the end of their phone number. We don't have E164 format. We highlight all that against our recommended practice. But we'll provide you the script to say, this is how you'll find out on a per pool or per server basis to be able to get that data. So there we go. So, right, so the last thing, as an engineer, I see this manage reports button. As a customer, you're going to have a view reports button. So if I open this, I'm going to look at the reports in detail, but I just wanted to highlight this. So there's a number of different reports that we have. As an engineer, I have to create them. I have to analyze them. Typically, I'll provide my updates on the portal so you can see them as we go, but also because they'll be tracked between different versions of RAS. If I was to update the document, you only get the document through my interaction and presentation to you. So that, if you remember back, that's not part of the subscription, the engineer piece. So as an ongoing basis, you're going to have access to the portal. So by updating the portal, you're going to see those changes as they happen in recommendations. I just simply hit create. It'll create, put all this in a nice Word template, populate it out, and we'll see one of those in a second, and some of the additional bits I need to add to it. Link call quality assessment is part of the CQM content. So we've just included, RAS has gone through an update this weekend. So as of yesterday, CQM is now part of RAS. I'll talk a little bit about CQM in this deck, but there's two more sessions later this week which go into CQM in a lot more detail. So call quality methodology, and we'll talk about that in a second. This is the Link RAS report itself, so we'll see one of those. All issues. So we only highlight issues that are problems in the portal. all the issues that we have. So whether it's actually exceeded a threshold or not exceeded a threshold, you'll see in the all issues report. And that's used for the engineer and the account manager to generate a remediation plan that you can work from. And then we have a PowerPoint format of that as well, so we'll see that in a second. If there's something as an engineer that I've found, either through conversation or something else that's maybe we've updated a new CU's come out, but we haven't updated RAS yet, I can add a custom issue here just to highlight that, put in all the information, and that will appear in the report as well as on the portal. So that will be picked up, and you can follow that. So that's us there. Let's go back to the PowerPoint. So we've done the client, we've done the portal, and some of the other data I wanted to highlight here. So things like QoE degradation summary. Some of this you'll see as part of the monitoring report, but what we've tried to do is include the trending piece. So the monitoring report will give you can manually go in and put a date range in, and you can see it. But if you want to compare one day against 3 days, you have to do it twice, you have to open other windows. Here you can just have a quick snapshot. So previous day, 3 days, week, month, quarter, and year, we'll break that down. If you export or delete the data after a certain period, it's not going to appear. So if you delete it every 6 months, we're not going to see it at the year level. One of the ones I think is quite interesting is conference size. So here we can start live customer data. I've blacked that out. But we can start to see the actual usage. What is the average size of a conference? You know, how easy is that to find today in Link? Here we can tell, I think it's around 65% of conferences have less than 10 people in them. So we can start to think about how we can take that out to our networks and try to build our capacity planning, all that sort of stuff can all start to filter out of this. This particular customer, 2% had more than 250. Those are quite big. Here we're looking at client usage. So this, you know, you can see across the bottom, there's more than 10 pages of 10 items per page. So we're talking hundreds of rows of data here. What clients are being used? So maybe you have control of your own environment, but you're federated. So what clients are actually coming in from external? What clients, you know, maybe you only use Windows phones. It's a dream we all have, but other customers will use iPads or whatever to connect. You can see this here. You can see how many are connecting. Maybe you've rolled out a patch, so you can start to see, you run this on the Monday, roll out the patch on the Wednesday, you can see the take-up of that patch and how things are going to change through that. So the reports, I need to go back here. So just quite quickly, you can see that. This is the Word report. It's taken from our test environment. So normally we'd have our customer name in here as well. But it's really, you know, where's our page count? It's not quite finished. It's several hundred pages, ultimately, is what we're providing here. A lot of it is configuration data. We have reduced it to move more onto the portal. So it was 300 to 400 pages at one point. But here, you know, the red text is, as an engineer, these are the bits I would manually change. So if I just quickly go down, generic introduction, what we're talking about, executive summary. So my job is to go through this report, provide a condensed page worth of these are the risks to your environment, this is the impact it's going to have, and at the end you'll see a remediation task. So you can, as a customer, you can feed that up the management chain. Executive summary, overall risk we're going to highlight here. We have scorecard information, so you can see which bits are actually at risk. This is just at the section level. There's another level. Here goes into, within each section, what actual questions or what data points are flagging those problems. In this particular one, we can see the old version of Office is in use. So I changed that, if you remember, just quickly on the questionnaire. That's resolved because we're now up to the latest one. It's that's the type of stuff we'll see. And here's what we'll see as an issue. So in this particular case, We haven't, it's one of the prereqs. We haven't got the users configured for synthetic transactions. It's all the same sorts of fields. One additional field here is for my comments. So anything I would have added, maybe that particular pool or one of the pools here, so we have a couple listed at the bottom, is a test pool. So I put in comments on the portal to say that SEO1 is a test pool. No users are configured. That's fine. That's why. So that's all going to be captured. Configuration info. So we looked at the server specs. There was more data on the portal for this particular table, so FQDNs as well as a few other columns. But it's just a very quick, you know, it's not meant to be a configuration document or some sort of configuration history of your environment, but it's a very quick snapshot of these are the configuration points as well as issues here. Some of the OS stuff. If we scroll right down, I wanted to highlight some of the performance data. So we'll give you graphs that show CPU, memory, disk on front ends, the usage of mediation servers, concurrent calls in and out. The actual hard data behind this is on the portal. So there is a table that will just number after number if you want to go down to that level. But we used to have it in the Word doc, and it just made the Word doc too big and unreadable. Graphs are here. So you can quickly browse, see which ones are being busy, which servers have been used. Oh, a couple of errors in that one. Quickly move on. So the PowerPoint, if I present that, oh, we're on that screen. It's the same findings, but this is more what me as an engineer will present back to you as a customer. Again, a bit of an overview so we can provide it on up to management. Good stuff, bad stuff, more bad stuff, and then all the scorecards again. So we're going to start to see, it's pretty much the same details. As an engineer, there's a few more manual tasks I need to put in to highlight some of the risks, but we're going to see all the scorecard stuff. We don't go down to individual issue details in the presentation. It's just meant to be an hour, 2 hour conversation about this. But we just go through that, so I'm going to skip that. Details are in the Word doc. The PowerPoint is the overview. And then here is the CQM content. So again, another Word doc. Introduction at the top. CQM, I highly suggest you go to the other sections for CQM. It's a more detailed view of call quality. So the current environments that we look at for QoE is an end-to-end type call scenario. So we provide you QoE data based on the overall call. CQM takes that to the next level. It breaks the call down into different environments. So we have endpoints, for example. We're just going to focus on the device and how it's connected. We have the server environment. So how is the server connected, the different components of the server? There's quite a lot here at the start of this doc in terms of what it is, the approach, how it's broken down. All this is covered by Andrew and Jens later this week. So this is the different portions. In this case, gateway to PSTN, gateway to mediation server, AVMCU to mediation server, and then the server health itself. There's a lot of you that, if your server's not performing properly, there's no point looking at the network. Fix the server first, and then look at the network problems. And this is what we're trying to identify with CQM. So quickly down here, that's some of the difference about QoE versus CQM. So you'll see a lot more almost risk from a CQM perspective because it goes more deeper and more depth. Doesn't necessarily mean it was a bad quality call, but maybe somewhere along that path could have been improved. At first glance, it maybe looks a bit worrisome. Here we're going to see the results. So, all streams path here. What we've QoE has classified as poor, but what CQM has classified as poor. So you see CQM has got more poor streams than QoE. So you're going to see that in the detail. But then we start to break it down. Different types here, so what wired, wireless, VPN, external. All this type of data is coming out of the QoE and CDR databases. So it's all available as long as you're monitoring. But we provide it, we capture it automatically, and we provide it back into a nice report that can be presented back internally. So what's coming next? We released initially in October, the start of October, supporting Link Server 2013. We did support configuration items for Server 2010, but we didn't have performance data there. So that was introduced in December. We also aligned all our reporting with RAS templates in general, added in the PowerPoint presentation content. This week, as I mentioned, CQM has been added. The new release went live over the weekend, Sunday, Monday time. We already have customers consuming this, so anybody who's on a subscription service has picked this up. We're having questions come on back. It's like, oh, it's new. What's this about? So we're starting to gauge in those customers a bit more detail. Recommend they watch the videos from the conference about the detail there. But this is the type of feature enhancements that we're bringing. At the end of March, we're going to increase our scale. So today, we currently support 50 servers. By the end of March, it's going to be 85 servers, but also environments of 150,000 users. So we're dramatically increasing that. We'll see what happens. So our plan, our target, based on feedback from the product group, is over 90% of our customers will be 85 or less. So that's our first pass. And that's our aim for the end of March. After that, we'll see how far we can go. So how many servers do you have? Okay. The concerns, to be honest, are really around performance counters and event logs. From a Link perspective, if we ignored those two features, we'd be fine, because all our info is from the CMS. So. But also at the end of March, we're going to be introducing the offline client as well. So that's going to enable governmental customers, secure military, financial, whoever doesn't want the data to leave their environment, we're going to have that capability by the end of March. So the CQM stuff, I'll let you read that for a second. I've already talked about it there. How are we doing for time? 10 minutes, okay, that's fine. I've lost my screen, so I don't know. What's the thing? How do I get a RAS? So firstly, the question to ask is, are you a customer or are you a partner? As a partner, do you want to sell this to your customers? So we enable all those scenarios here. So firstly, do you have a Premier contract? These are enabled through Premier. It's a Premier offering that we have. If it's yes, you can go direct to Microsoft. If it's no, you can go to a partner who has a Premier contract and can sell this or enable you to consume this on your behalf. Our delivery mechanisms are, we have two options with this. Direct to Microsoft is through the Premier route, or via partner is for environments where the partner is managing your customer environment on your behalf. So either managed service or outsourced type role. The difference here is who's got access to your data. So through the partner can also sell a direct Microsoft delivery to you. So if it's direct to Microsoft, only the customer and Microsoft have access to your data. If it's a managed service type environment, the partner will also have access to that data. And that really is where the difference will come into it. If you have a Premier contract and you prefer a partner to be involved, so that there are many customers out there in the managed service environment that have Premier contracts but are completely managed and outsourced to partners, we enable that as well. So really, you can buy this whatever way you like, really is what we're saying, but we do strongly recommend it becomes part of your operations strategy in how to operate and manage Link. Regular running, generating those reports for trend usage that we talked about. But
just one question.
Yep. So it's It's surfacing some of the data that's already in the QoE database and CDR database, absolutely. But a lot of the value is the fact it's against recommended practice. So we're not, you as a customer, you can go and query the database yourself if you know SQL, SQL reporting. Certainly the CQM stuff has been released through the product group, through the NextHop blog. So our SQL queries there. So we're not saying this is the only way to do it. But as the whole package, we're given an output of a configuration. Yes, you could do that yourself. The database analysis, yes, you could do that yourself. The recommended practice against all those other customers that are using Link and the data that the product group has, CTS has, the access to the engineer, providing all those remediation stuff. So there are portions of it, absolutely, you could do yourself. Depending on your environment, you're going to have to invest time to start with, and whether you know there's a cost benefit there.
So the benefit, there are multiple tools to look at your environment to assess how old it is. So this is not a replacement, as you said, for stock, one plugin. Right, that is all looking at key health indicators, performance data. Right, the value add for the tool is the knowledge, the compiled knowledge.
So the other thing I would add there would be the reporting and the trending pieces as well, but you could do that again yourself. So some of the related sessions I've sort of alluded to already. The first two are, it's the same session repeated, but that's a generic, what tools are available. So we cover things like System Center Advisor. We cover RAS, not in as deep depth here as we did today. Also things like ResourceKit tools as well. So one session this afternoon, another one tomorrow after lunch. Best 100 is a 100 level overview of what Premier can offer, support options that we have for Link. And then finally, the bottom two, call quality, CQM, call quality methodology. The first one is the introduction, concepts behind it, why it's important. And then the second one is the deep dive of the SQL queries, what sort of data that we look for, and the types of analysis that is done. So that's it from me. We've had some questions as we go, but any more questions? I think. Thank you.